Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day and this time, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence being here in a mighty way this morning. Now, Lord, we seek your word. We seek to hear from you, to know your thoughts, to know what you know, to be able to speak what you want us to speak, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. To this end, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring our Father's will into this house today. Every life being touched by God's word. Fresh word. In Jesus' name, anoint the ministers. Thank you for their gifts that's within them, Lord. And Lord, we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to have Connie and Stan here today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. And I understand that Connie has something she wants to share, and then I believe Stan's going to bring forth a word. So let's just continue on where we're at in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And receive from him. Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's going to be real brief because I know that y'all came to hear see Emeril live, not Betty Crocker who only uses a microwave. Okay, let me set the record straight for all that was told last time. Now I need to tell you the truth about the birthday party. I lay out his clothes everywhere we go. Whatever he has on today, it's because I brought it, I laid it out, I put him together. Except for that day. I had it laid out. I knew what he wanted, what I was going to have him wear for a shirt and his pair of pants. He's so stubborn. He wore what he wanted to wear. He wore the blue jeans. But anyway, it's good. It was still good. Well, I tell you what, huh? Yeah, you're still good. It's good to be here. It's good to see a lot of new faces. It's good to see, I won't say old faces, but I won't say familiar faces. Old is okay. there is a sweet presence here, or spirit here, that was good worship. And if you weren't able to get into worship, then we need to pray for you because that was good. It was good. I'm going to just mention a scripture here that has been just pounding me and pounding me. And we've heard this scripture many times, and I don't think that we've heard it the way that God has been showing me this scripture. And he hasn't given me all of it, but he's been giving me some things. The scripture is in Proverbs 22:16, or maybe 22:6. Yeah, I know. I think it's 22:6. Do y'all do the scriptures up on the... If you don't, that's okay. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, all of you sitting here, I think, all of you sitting here have already trained your children. You're like, well, you know what? That doesn't apply to me. But it does. Just, I want to submit this thought to you for you to think about this scripture this way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, the training. You see, I know that Marie won't say this out loud, but it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. What? You say I'm older, and I'm not a child. But it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from the training. Right now, every one of you sitting here is either training or being trained. You're either training or you're being trained. You've got people in your lives. You think, well, I've given them all that I can, and I've given up on them. If I thought that, then my grandson will be pottying in his pants for the rest of his life, because he's being stubborn about that right now. So this training is just, maybe that's what it's about. It's about potty training. But no, it's not. Because there's people here that, I won't say there's people here. There's people maybe here, but people that we know, maybe they're pottying in their pants still. But you know what? It's not too late. It's not too late. What are you laughing about? Don't give up. Don't give up, Karen. They're in training. You're training. Or you're being trained. Receive that training. You know where you receive the training from? The instructor. The one who knows. That's where you receive the training from. If you're receiving the training from him, you will be able to train. Yes. If I don't receive, I don't know how to train. You know, I went out and I was hunting with a Stan's AR-16, AR-15, which is also an M-16. And I have shot guns. I know how to shoot guns, you know. I know, but I hadn't been trained on this gun. How many of you have ever shot an AR-15? How many of you have? Okay. Then you know a little bit about what I'm going to say. Anyway, these hogs came up. You know, I was up in a deer blind there in the pasture, and these hogs came up, and I was expecting hogs. But I was hoping that they would come up in the light so that I could, you know, do a normal thing and aim and shoot. Well, they didn't, and it's dark, and all I can hear is, and it sounds really scary at night. Anyway, so I could see images. Well, they were mostly right here to my right. And so I thought, you know, I can't even turn or they're going to hear me. So I knew where the trigger was. So I just went, pow, 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 pow. It stopped firing. I thought, well, I must be out of bullets because I went pow, 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 a bunch. But it wasn't out of bullets. It was jammed. Well, I got back to the house, and I told Stan, well, I killed a couple of hogs, you know, and I said, I was out of bullets. He goes, no, you weren't. Well, there's a deal on the AR-15, because this is what our military is still using. Anyway, it's a gun that's infallible, because you can quickly, if you jam, you pull this, I don't know what it's called. Say it. You pull the charging handle back. And then there's also a button on it that'll jam the bullet on forward. Anyway, I didn't have the training. And you know, if this had been an enemy, and I was out there and I thought I knew what I was doing, I'd be dead. Because I thought I was out of bullets. I wasn't properly trained. You know, whenever our military goes into battle, our son, who's in the military, they train him intensively on what he is using. And he's listening to the instructor because his life depends on it. And many of us, our lives depend on listening to the instructor because we're being trained or we are training. So don't depart from that training. Amen? That's all I have. See? Was it 10 minutes? He owes me some money.
Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the word that's already come, the words of praise to you. They're not enough, but they're what we have this morning. We offer them up freely to you. We ask you now in Jesus' name to touch and heal the one that's in need right now.
Yes, amen.
We command this attack to cease and desist. It's illegal.
Yes.
It's unrighteous. It is not of God. We curse it now. And we replace it with peace that passes all understanding. Yeah, blood, you stay where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do. Obey the word of the Lord. We ask you now also to expound on what has been said, to change our hearts and lives and our minds and our thought processes in a training, in a listening mode, so that we walk out of here better than when we came. We will not leave here the same. We will be changed this morning, and we do it and say it and expect it and perform it in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says?
Amen.
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 Now let me tell you something about training while she brought it up. I didn't know what she was going to do, but since she brought it up, I know that in the last few days, my son went out, and I know for 2 days in a row, each day he had to fire 13,000 rounds. Now that's how you get trained. It's called repetition. Mm-hmm. But that's boring. No, that's life-giving.
Yes. Yes.
That's life-giving. Do you know how you get to be fully trained so that you can train somebody else? You misfire a lot. You go through situations that might even scare your little pants a little bit. It may look, see, the Bible talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. You're promised that, by the way. What? Valleys, shadows, threats of death. That's what you're promised. But you have to know a fact. What is the rest of that? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will
fear no evil.
For you are with me.
Thou art
with
rod and your staff.
So the way we begin, the way we begin and end every sentence is, I will not fear. Not, I will not have a valley of shadow of death. Because that would be against the word. If you decide you're not going to have any problems, you've decided to lie against the truth. Mm-hmm. What you have to decide is, I will not worry. I will not fear. I've been teaching a series, and I want to read the basis of that series. I don't know if I'll continue in that direction, but this is the scriptures. If you want to write them down, or if Patrick's fast, I don't think he is. Not, I mean, his machine. I know he's fast. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's a very enlightening, directing, and sometimes convicting scripture, but it's always truth. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if I'm fearing, I'm already sinning against God. I'm sometimes abrupt that way, but for God has not given us a spirit of fear, or a disposition of fear, our timidity, our faithlessness, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Which, if you want to look that up, it means self-control. God has given me a spirit of self-control. Well, where did he get that? You ever known God to be out of control? Then the only thing he's given me is control. He can't give me out of control. He can only give me control. He can't give me fear because he doesn't have any. If I'm getting those things, I'm getting them from another, let me make a note, or you make a note in your mind, another spirit.
Yes.
We've found out here that there are two spirits. Yeah. One sounds a lot like the other. One comes in the form of a truth. One is truth. Please listen to me. The devil never lies to you. He tells you a partial truth. So he comes to you in a form of truth. You have a reason to be afraid. Here are the reasons. It looks like you're going to die. That's the shadow of death. God did not give you that fear, so therefore he did not give you the thought to create the fear. The thought, I'm about to die, is your thought. It is not God's thought. God's thought is, I shall live and not die. So which one did God give me? So if I've got the thought that I might die, I need to get rid of that thought.
Yes.
That's self-control. Or that's the control that God gives you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of love and of a sound mind. So anything that I have in me that is not power, it's not God. Anything that's not love is not God. And let me tell you point blank, God is not love, God is truth. Love is an outflow of truth and a sound mind.
Did you know you can't study truth and get an unsound mind?
That's right.
It's not possible. You can never go insane studying truth.
Right.
Speaking truth. Knowing truth. You can go insane meditating on anything or those things that aren't truth. Let me give you a second verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. The reason I want to bring these, and it may sound like before this morning's over that I've varied, but I will not. The reason I want you to understand this situation about no fear, the verification is this. God gave me this. You know in times past, you've seen God give me things. He usually gives them to me slightly before He gives them to everybody else. I don't know exactly why. But I can tell you that shortly after I started this series, every time I turned anything on television, there was a television preacher. He was preaching on fear. I've seen it over and over and over now. It's so when God speaks the word, He speaks it around the world. And those that hear the voice of God begin to speak the same thing around the world. Why? Because He wants us to know some things. He wants us to understand that there could be some valleys coming. We need to be ready, not be fearful. There's a difference. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Let me replace the word love for truth. There's no fear in truth. But perfect love casts out fear. Let me just be point blank. If you're afraid of anything, you're not walking in perfect love. Because fear involves torment.
Yes.
And the definition of that is imprisonment. Fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Well, I'm afraid of spiders. You need to work a little more in truth. Sorry. Could you tell me honestly that there is an absolute truth? Would anybody in this room believe in an absolute truth? That's 2-3. Okay. Does everybody in this room believe in absolute truth? Because our society and our world teaches us, and science itself tries to teach us, there's no absolutes. And that's a lie. And the reason it's placed there is so that you can be fearful. If you know an absolute truth, then you can't be afraid. You cannot be afraid. You don't have to lock your door 14 different ways at night to go to bed. Ooh. You don't have to have your house exterminated every 5 seconds because there's a bug might walk across the floor. In Genesis, it tells you have dominion over everything, every place, above, here, and below. Is that an absolute truth? So why would anybody that walks in dominion have fear? Society right now is telling us we have a very, very, very good chance of going down the tubes, whatever that means. Because I'm not going to meditate on it, I'm not going to understand that. I thought that God told you and me that if He can take care of a sparrow, He can take care of you.
Yep, that's right.
I thought that's what God said. Is that an absolute truth?
Yep.
Then why would I care what the news media says about the finances?
Amen.
Right.
Well, but you don't know how great a situation this is. Yes, I do. Yes, I know. I go, I know God. I know how great God is. So I know the situation.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about that there's a situation beyond God. So far, in the first 60 days of the new president, he's created the worst calamity that's ever been created on the face of the earth. A disaster that's going to cost more money than Chernobyl. So I should be afraid. You see how sly things can be? Saw how it's presented. Oh, I got chill bumps with that statement. That's not fear. That's chill bumps. They don't do anything but just bump. Am I to worry about that? No, my God says He holds kings in His hands.
That's right.
So this guy's not going to do anything that God don't tell him or let him do.
And
if he does, the Bible says what was meant for bad will be turned to good. So there is the absolute truth on that. So I don't care. I don't operate in this United States economy. I don't operate in the world's economy. I operate in God's economy.
Right.
And no man or group of men can take that away from me because I operate in absolute truth, not in their truth.
Yes.
There's no fear in love, but perfect or complete love casts out fear, because fear involves imprisonment or torment. So how many of you want to be imprisoned? Well, then anytime you run across something that you're afraid of or gives you concern, you imprison that rather than let that imprison you. Okay? Now, I have been so torn on which direction to go this morning. So torn. I got so much in me I want to dump. I want you to know something that I just started off on, and I'm going to go that direction. That to know God is to know truth. God is not a name. It's a verb. God is a verb. See, I can look at you and call you by name, and it means absolutely nothing. It just means your mama named you. And so I've been recognized by that name. But when you look or speak about God, you are talking about verb. That's an action. God is action. He's not a figurehead. He is, his name is truth. Okay? His name is truth. My Bible says that truth will set you free. Who sets free then? Not what I speak. It's God in the form of a absolute truth. I can speak it. It didn't change the form of the truth. You can speak it and it becomes real to you, and it casts out all fear. When I was a little kid, I was taught that God is love. Well, that's another verb. But I'm going to tell you, you don't know love until you know truth. Love comes out of truth. Listen to me. Love comes out of truth. You're not going to love somebody unless they can tell you the truth. Or you shouldn't. And if they don't tell you the truth, don't cast your pearls before swine. Because anything that's not truth is what? Whoa, another absolute. You don't mean there's white lies and black lies? Big lies and little lies? No. Truth, peace, and love are the Trinity that God is.
Yes.
Let me tell you, let me ask you something. An absolute truth. What alters an absolute truth?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. Absolutely can't be
altered. So if I tell you that I'm healed and I get sick, what happened to the absolute truth?
Nothing.
Nothing? So what is the sickness?
It's a lie?
It's a lie. Against?
Truth.
A truth. Lie against truth. It's attack on the truth then.
Yes, absolutely.
If I tell you, now listen, don't answer too quickly on this, and it might be a trick question. If I tell you that I'm going to be healed, have I told you the truth? Got yes and no. There's an absolute here. Which one is correct? So I'm going to be healed is a lie. Because it's not the truth. It goes against the truth. Because I am already healed. The Bible tells me that by His stripes, I was healed. I am. Depends on where you are. But am can be. Am is never can be. And was is never can be. I'll tell you why. Because we're not careful with the truth. We'll say things we're not supposed to say. What are we doing? We're lying against the truth. Did you know the Bible tells you you are to be offended or angry for the truth? So who are you going to get angry at if you speak a misstatement? Who you should you get angry at? You. Stan, what in the world did you just say? Are you out of your mind? You've lost your sound mind. You spoke against the truth. Get it corrected. Did you sin? No. You took care of it. Well, depends on which sin you want to talk about. You did miss the mark, so we'll use the lighter form of the two types of sin. You missed the mark. Do I need to repent? Yes, in this form. Repent, that means say I'm sorry and don't do it again. Don't fall on your face and say, oh my God. It's not what He wants. Is any symptom the truth? Any symptom in the world, truth. I'm backing you in a hard corner. You're not coming out hard. trying to get you to speak absolute, and y'all have already got it in reverse. Is there any symptom that's truth? What's a symptom of healing when I'm already healed? Something gone? Okay, why don't we refer to that as a manifestation of the fact of healing? What we are now is, see, I'm healed. I don't care if I see it or not, since we're talking about healing. But what I really want is the manifestation of what I already know to be the truth. Right? So what I'm asking you is, what if you do not yet have the manifestation? Doesn't matter. The absolute is, I'm healed. You know why this is important? Because it also applies to your salvation. Are you saved? So what symptom would take that away from you? See, y'all, you start answering quickly on that one, but not on healing. What is the difference? The difference is, if you allow an absolute truth to get weak, you're going to lose all the truth. All the truth is going to get weak in you. Understand what I'm saying? I talked to Bill yesterday morning, and I reminded him of some absolute truths. Why? Because there had been some non-truths sneak in. You know what non-truth will do to you? If truth will set you free, what will a non-truth do? According to this, put you in a prison. What was that? In bondage, prison, that torment. That's what we've read here this morning. Let me just stick with my little few notes here. I quoted a scripture to somebody one time about law of seed time and harvest, and they said, well, I don't believe that. I quoted a scripture, which was an absolute truth. All scripture is absolute truth.
Yeah.
If I quote that scripture to you and you tell me, well, I don't believe that's so, well, what have you just done? Do you know you've come about as close to blaspheme as you can get? You call something that's Holy Spirit inspired not truth. Now let's don't get nuts on this and start going around calling everybody a blasphemer, because please don't do that. We're not in a judgment seat. We haven't seen the end, so don't judge. What we do want to do is remind each other day and night, remind each other constantly of how close we can get to the edge. And we don't want to do that. I don't care what you believe. We need to learn to say to each other, I really don't care what you believe. I'm talking about an absolute truth. And let them get mad at you. So what? They can get mad over a lie. You can get mad over the word. I will defend this word. You can defend your nonsensical position, and I will defend mine. And we'll see which one God. Do you think God wants to back up his word?
Absolutely.
Or do you think he's more interested in backing up your word?
No.
Okay. I know where I'm standing. How about an opinion? Everybody's got an opinion in the armpit, and they both stink. And everybody said, amen. Truth. See, there's very few things in your life that you can get so sold on that it creates joy in you. When you're sold out to a word, when it becomes an absolute truth, it creates joy. Because it creates so much peace in you. When you have arrived, you're at peace. So when it gets down in you that there's no other answer, there's no other statement, there's no other way, you smile. Poor, I got here. This is it. This is a place to be. And the more that we seek God, the more that we listen to his word, the more we get peace that passes all understanding. People think you're nuts because in this terrible economy, you seem to not be worried. In fact, you seem to be a little bit happy. Yeah, because I happen to know something about this economy. It's not my economy. There's a higher economy. I don't care what I feel like. Does pain supersede truth?
No.
I'm not going to say this as a truth, but I'm going to throw it out there as something for you to mull around. Pain is a figment of an imagination, because if you took a painkiller, it would go away. What happened to the pain? If it was an absolute truth, where? Where is it if it's there and you don't have it? Now we're dealing with something that's truth over fact? I didn't say pain was not a fact. I said it's not the truth. Well, Stan, you're getting me confused. Truth never confuses you. It may challenge you, but it'll never confuse you. You know how long pain should hang around? Until you've overcome it. With truth, by the way.
Yes.
I've had a lot of pain in the last few months. A lot of it. And laughed at some. I shared this. I'll share this now that that distraction is gone. I don't know if this happened. I think it happened after I got back from the last trip, wasn't it? I got a nosebleed. I don't fool around. It's like anything else I do. I don't mess around. I get one, I get one. Stand back. I may shoot, but I'm not going to dribble. And so I rushed to the sink so I could contain. Okay? I wanted to contain the situation. And my wife said, well, after a little bit, she said, I think it's time to call 911. What's 911?
Psalm 91:1.
What does it say? Whoa. You don't have to go any further than that. It's all right if you do. But you don't have to go any further. I heard her begin to read. I heard her begin to read Psalms 91:1 as I was over that sink. Psalms 91:1. Now, you know what truth does? It drives out lies.
Right.
Psalms 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells. That's a living place. That's not a visitation place. That's not a place that I run to when I get in trouble. It's where I live. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, and He is my fortress. Now, wait a minute. Does pain, doubt, fear, nosebleed supersede refuge and fortress? If you're in a containment mode, it does. But if you're in attack mode, it doesn't. Who's got the biggest weapon? I do. Blood's not the biggest weapon. My blood's already been paid for. I mean, Jesus already shed His blood. It's above any other blood. My God, in Him will I trust. You mean I am not to trust in an actual thing called bleeding? No, it says, my God, I'll trust. There's a lot more good stuff in here. You just keep reading. But what I'm telling you is that the only real thing you have in your life is God and His Word and His truth. I'm going to say it again. The only real thing that you have is God and truth. Same thing. Anything else is a threat against God and truth.
Yes.
Choose you this day, life or death. Blessings or curses. By the way, I highly recommend you choose life.
Yeah.
There's only one power on the face of this earth, and that's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Please, at least let it sink in before you say, Because I may expound on it. There's only one power, and that's truth. Well, what about the power of heart attacks and finances and worry? And I said there's only one power. Everything else is false. It's a shadow. It's what the Scripture says. The valley of the shadow of death. It's something that wants to take the place of truth. The enemy, the devil, your adversary comes and tells you how worthless you are. And the only thing that you can fight that with is for God to say how much worth you have. Choose you this day. Which one are you going to believe? Well, Bill referred to it this morning. He said, I'm going to say it like I said. Can't repeat anybody. God thought you were valuable. And He paid Jesus for you.
Yeah.
That's how valuable He thought you were. And more than that, He thought He got a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's an absolute truth. So when these things, problems, situations come and tell you how worthless you are, you have a refuge and a fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Not any other word that comes about. Well, you don't know the situation. Let's keep it that way. Tell me about your fortress and your refuge. Tell me about your God. That's the truth. The other stuff, I don't want to hear about. You mean you don't care if I hurt? Not really. No, what I care about is that you have some truth. Because I will help you fight your problem with word, but I can't fight it. You have to fight. Now, I understand. There's sometimes when you can call for elders, when you can have somebody step in, such as my nosebleed. By the way, I need to finish that story. That stopped that nosebleed. And I've had one other time in the past where if you don't start quoting word, nosebleeds don't stop. Not mine. Because when I do it right. Come on, you don't look at me that way. You need to say the same thing of you. When I do it right. We conquered that. My God, in Him will I trust. A few days later, I got another one. And this time, my wife noticed I was yawning. It's not a good thing to yawn when you have a nosebleed. But it was boring. And I started laughing. And when I laughed, the nosebleed quit. We didn't have to read Psalms 91:1 again. We are enforcing Psalms 91:1 by the joy of the Lord is my strength. Guess what makes God happy? His word. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I make Him happy, I get strong. Strong in what way? Any way necessary, always necessary. It even includes nosebleeds, weight problems, financial problems, pain in joints. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If I make God happy, His word becomes truth to me. That means I am healed. I am saved. I am delivered. I am more than a conqueror, more than the conqueror, if you like that word. Say it, whatever works for you. This vision came to me when I was talking about, when I was thinking about the truth being our strength, the only power we have. If God was not absolute truth, then the power that He is would have no backbone to work through. I pictured this structure, this person with no backbone. Y'all have all met persons without backbones. You know what they look like, sound like, and feel like. How would you like to have a God like that? Well, you need to remember, a backbone is the structure that makes you accomplish whatever you need to accomplish. It carries you, it's your strength, it's your power, your backbone. God is truth. Truth is the backbone of everything that He does, everything that He says, everything that He is. You have to become backbone. What does that mean? That means I am going to be strong in word and truth. She called me hardhead. Did you hear her call me hardhead? That's backbone. That may have gone a little too high, but it's still backbone. It's still backbone. It just went a little higher than it should have. I am not afraid to tell my wife, I'm not wearing those pants. I don't care. She commanded me. She said, you've got to wear those pants. Oh, lady. Oh, lady. You should know better. After 20-some-odd years, you should know better. She's still trying to win, and you're not going to win. I want God to be the hardest-headed entity that I've ever met in my life. Because when He says something, I want Him to never, ever, ever back down.
Amen.
Ever. And when He said, by His stripes you are healed, I don't want Him backing down.
Amen.
And I don't want any situation or circumstance to cause me to think that He backed out. He backed out on the deal. And you got to be weak-minded to think God's going to back down. Mm-hmm. Backbone, that's what God is. Truth. And He will back up what He says. He'll also back up what you say that He said.
Amen.
Okay? Come on, get a hold of that.
Thank you, Lord.
There's only one thing that matters in life, and that's truth.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to, it does not include political truth. Smooth truth. Truth of love. Truth in love. If you love me, you tell me the truth. And if you don't, you don't love me. You're stabbing me in the back with a lie.
Yes.
Paint it up. Oh, you look so good this morning when you know good and well, both of us know that I look terrible. Don't lie to somebody. Don't lie to somebody. If they don't look good, shut up. Don't say nothing. Or say, what's wrong with you? Because they might get the idea that you care. What is wrong with you this morning? See, they might think that you care if you'd say that. But if you say, oh, you're looking good this morning, they know different, you have just become a liar. Watch your words. Speak truth in love. What is that? Let me tell you what that means to me. If I care enough to tell you the truth, that must mean I love you. Otherwise, I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. Truth is all that matters in love. It sets you free. It guards. It empowers. It builds up. It washes. It cleans. It excites. It removes falseness and dirt.
Thank you, Lord.
It drives out doubt and unbelief. To speak a non-truth is a lie. Please, in this United States, we have become such spineless individuals. We actually now want to put people in jail if they ever tell you the truth. It has gotten so ridiculous. It has gotten so ridiculous. Ma'am, I love you, but it's nearly gotten to offense if I say you are not my color. An obvious truth. I didn't say there was anything wrong with your color. I didn't say there was anything wrong with mine. But it's nearly gotten offensive to point a difference. I like difference. I like the difference between my wife and I. But it's nearly sexual discrimination if I point out the fact that she's not a guy. Or I am. Or there's a difference. I promise you, here's the truth. There's a difference between a man and a woman. They think different, act different. We react different. We are different. God's design. That's the truth. Put me in jail. You can't put me in jail. I'm free. Because I spoke the truth. That's right. And there's no hate in truth. There's only love in truth. Now, if I hate the fact that she's a woman, I've got a problem. If I hate the fact that she's a different color, then I've got a problem. You don't hate facts. Facts will set you free. Truth will set you free. Why don't we enjoy the truth? I like you being a woman. Don't you ever change. You change, you're on your own. I'm going to find a woman. Does she think different? Yeah, and it's funny sometimes. She may not think it's funny that I think she thinks different, but I think it's funny. How'd you come up with that? Why don't we enjoy differences?
Yes.
It's the truth. God desire. You're talking about God being amazing. He made millions of individuals, and none of them look the same, act the same, or think the same, and we get aggravated about that. We're all supposed to be one pool of amoeba with no thoughts. I'm sorry. Well, anytime we meditate on anything but the truth, we get warped.
That's right.
And we're very susceptible to influences that cause us to die.
Yes.
I want to live and not die.
Yes.
To speak a non-truth is a lie. To speak a non-truth is to weaken. If I tell you anything but the truth, I weaken not only you, but me and our situation. Did you know the truth is the only thing out of any situation? If I'm in a bind, the truth is, she talked about being up the tree with these hogs under there and firing, and she thought that she was out of ammunition, which she wasn't. She accepted a weaker position because she was out of ammunition. She wasn't out of ammunition. She could have hit that jam button and gone on firing. She could have pulled that lever and kicked out that bad bullet and gone on firing. Understand? The truth was at her hands, but she didn't use it. She blamed it on training, and that is exact the truth. Why do you think that the foolishness of preaching needs to be accomplished? Because there's truth being laid out there. It's obvious truth, but we need to be reminded. Well, there's nothing new I'm saying today. Nothing new I'm saying. I may be saying an offensive matter. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If it offends you, you repent and we'll go on. Well, if you're offended, you're offended. I'm not offended by the truth. Are you? I get what I expect.
Yes.
I get what I expect. Okay. And I expect the truth out of y'all.
Yeah.
What are you expecting out of me? Did you know that a non-truth is an attack? We know it's an attack against the truth. But if I call myself a person of truth, a child of God, then it's an attack against me and God. Why do we speak non-truths? So we can defend our positions. The only way you'll ever speak a non-truth is defend, I might add, a weak position. It's called self-preservation. So I'm watching something on television. The cop pulled a woman over and said, "Why were you speeding?" "Well, my baby has pink eye." You see what non-truth makes you look fool. You speak a non-truth and you're going to look the fool. I know you are the fool. Now you're going to look like one. Was that offensive? God is truth. Love is the manifestation of truth. Fear, doubt, dis-ease is a manifestation of non-truth. Did you get that one? You remember what we said here? Perfect love casts out fear. Is that what it says? So if I have anything that causes me to be dis-eased, now that could include a malady, but let's just call it a dis-ease. It has to stem from a non-truth. Shall I freeze for a moment while y'all throw tomatoes? Yeah, but you don't know what I've got. Yeah, you've got a non-truth. Well, I've had it for 30 years. Well, it's faithful. Your non-truth has been faithful to you. It's not near as faithful as the truth. If you'll step up on it and ride it, let it become your fortress and high tower, your refuge, God, truth. What weapon that's formed against me can ever accomplish, ever prosper? Is that an absolute? Even if it's a 30-year-old lie.
It's the Word of God.
And the Word of God, it's up to us to enforce that on a lie. Boy, that was just nearly too simple, wasn't it? Yeah, but I've got this. Well, I know you got it. That's because you don't have a full revelation of truth. That's why you still got it. Well, you're just insulting. Thank you. Thank you. The truth is supposed to be a chastiser, too. And God says, if I don't chastise you, I don't love you. By the way, that's an absolute. That's an absolute. And I was just going to remind you of this. Why do you think I have a revelation of this right now? You weren't the first one insulted. I don't think I was either, but I'll claim to be the first one in this room. It's time to stop this limping around, weak, worried, hurt, busted, disgusted attitude when it flies directly against the face of God, the Word of God, the truth of God, who God is and who He wants you to be. Amen. Even in old age, the Bible says, even in your old age, none of these empowerments, these things that I've given you, wane. That's what the promise of God is. Abraham and Sarah proved that. Woo-hoo. Y'all can grin quietly, it's okay. Or you can say, woo-hoo. The guys say, woo-hoo, and the woman say, oh, me. All right, Stan, what do I do with what you said? What do I do with what you're talking about? I have this malady, I have this pain, I have this disease. What do I do? Well, I don't know if you understand this, but I've been pretty simple this morning. You begin to quote the truth rather than that thing that's calling itself truth. You begin to attack the non-truth. Laugh at it. You know what I said when I was sitting there with that last bit of nosebleed? Devil, is this all you got? This the best you can do? I thought you were mean. You're not even tough. You understand what I'm saying? Then you begin to smile and laugh. The joy of the Lord becomes evident. Come on, understand the scripture. God is happy because you're doing His word, and that gives you strength, joy, peace that passes understanding. I want to remind you of some things that can cause you fear. I'm not getting away from what I just said. I don't think you'd be honest with me. I'd go try to poll you to see what causes the greatest fear in you. So let me just throw out a few things. I've already thrown out a few things. Our economy is causing a lot of people to fear. Without righteous reason. So when I begin to meditate on anything like that, what should I do for my retirement? Or how should I approach my job? Is my job safe? I better start taking some money and putting it in tin cans and burying it. All the stupid things that come across the line and across your mind. Did any of that come from God?
No.
Well, doesn't the scripture say that you are to take those imaginations, those thought processes, and cast them down?
Yes.
Well, the best way to hold them down after you've cast them down is to replace that thought with another thought.
Yes.
Please listen. This is a critical formula for life and that more abundantly. Is that any time anything causes a problem in you, a turmoil, you take that, you cast it down, and you replace it with the truth. The devil spoke to Jesus and said, if you will throw yourself off, if you will do this, if you'll do that, doesn't the word say that God will take care of you? And then his response was, it is also written. Okay? So he replaced temptation with the truth. The trouble, this gets technical, but you need to remember something. What the devil spoke to Jesus on that mount was word. But it was word out of time and out of place. So it was a lie. So listen to me. It's very obvious if you watch television, if you remember history. People can feed you Bible and it be a lie because it was misrepresented. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the difference between you knowing what's truth, what's absolute truth, and what's I'm not too sure yet. Don't ever walk out on a platform of I'm not too sure yet. Somebody will cut it off. I'm not telling you that you should cast all caution to the wind because somebody tells you to. It needs to be an absolute truth to you. That's when you can get bold. And the only way truth is going to be absolute truth to you is when you practice it, you fire that 13,000 rounds a day. How often should you fire at the enemy? Until you hit him dead. You just keep firing. As long as that thought keeps coming back, you just keep firing. You take that word, you take that promise, you take that good thought that God, Jeremiah 29:11. I don't care which scripture you can latch onto, you fire it back until his fire, he's going to run out of fire?
Yeah.
He has a limited amount of ammunition, you have an unlimited amount.
Amen.
You are bulletproof because of the armor that you've been given.
Yeah.
He's not bulletproof. And it comes into you, these things come to you in subtle ways. I'll tell you how subtle it is. Every time you turn on a television or a radio, one of the things that you hear in there is that if you don't rush down and buy this thing, you're going to lose. Every 5 seconds, if you don't take this medication, by the way, you need this medication, you need to take this advertisement and this name, go tell your doctor that you need it. That's what those stinking commercials say. And the whole idea is to make you afraid that you might have that disease.
Yes.
My wife was telling me this morning about this 100-something-year-old lady that just danced all her life. And she's still dancing. They couldn't even hardly get her to sit down long enough to stop dancing. When they got her to sit down, her feet kept dancing. And she's over 100 years old. And they said, what is the secret? You're not going to like this one. She said, the secret is stay away from doctors and don't take any medicine. Goodness. And you know what? She can say that. Why? Well, after 100 years, you got the right to say anything you want to because it must have worked.
Yes, amen.
After 80 years. After 60 years. Let's get it in there. Just remember that everything around you, everything that's happening, even you, you go open a bottle of V8 juice and you take a drink and it says, refrigerate after opening. That's a threat. I don't know if you know that, but that's a threat. If you don't, you're going to get sick. That's the rest of the sentence. Everything you're presented with on a daily basis is fear. And so you got a big job. You got a huge job. Every moment of every day, you are going to be an overcomer. Of what? Fear. And the offering of fear in whatever way. Symptoms. If you don't get the right insurance, you could end up in big trouble. So you better shop and shop and shop and shop. Global warming. What do you think that is? Besides a lie. And a seatbelt. You better fasten that seatbelt. You go flying through that windshield. You mean I'm going to have a wreck? Oh, you might. I'm going to base my life on mites. The mites are eating us up.
Yes.
Women buy Cosmo. And in Cosmo, there's tests to see if your husband loves you. Oh, brother. I bet you the person that wrote the test is single. Why not laugh? It's better than shaking.
Amen.
Where's that scripture? Let me read this. In the last days, what are men going to die of? Luke 21:25. Now this, I'd like to teach you this message too. It's on being afraid of things that God's doing that are good. But anyway, verse 25 says, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. 26, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming. They're dying from a fear of something that's coming, not something that's there. This is how fear can get to you. Oh my goodness. We had a guy, a young man that attended this church for years, or off and on, and he had a deadline in the sand that he was going to die by this time because his father died by this time. Does that make sense to you? It's fear. There's no truth. There's no basis of truth. Well, my I'm going to die of breast cancer because my mom died of breast cancer. What's in the genes? Well, change genes. Quit quoting lies. Start quoting the truth. The truth is, I'm born again. I'm healed. There's a river of blood that's paid, and I'm diving in the blood. When I'm coming out, my genes are changed. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I've got God as my Father. Don't die of lies. Don't be sick of lies. Just be sick that they're coming your way and get well. Defeat them with truth. Let me tell you what verse 28 says. Now when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Some are going to die, and some are going to get look up. I guess that's where we choose today. Am I going to die? Is my heart going to fail me from fear? Or I know my redemption is here. God had not given me a spirit of fear. Can you say that with me? God has not given me a spirit of fear. So if I'm afraid, it's not God. If I'm afraid, I have an unsound mind. Whoa. You mean I think in one scripture, I can learn one scripture, nearly defeat any enemy? I believe so. Yeah, it behooves you to learn more. But get a hold of one. Let me tie this back together now. You've got to get a hold of one scripture in your life that will become an absolute truth before you can step to the next one.
That's right.
Something has to become an absolute to you before you can move on glory to glory, step by step. I had somebody tell me one time, Stan, everything to you is black and white. Your point? What is your point? Was that to create fear in me, or, ooh, I better start making some shady. I want to put some shade of truth. No. I want you to tell me that so that I can make a decision on whether that's right or wrong. And as soon as I decide that's a good point, I'm going to stick with it. Please, if you talk to me ever, don't expect for me to give you a gray answer. This is a good time. I have given you a truth that will set you free. I've given you a message that will set you free. I hope you take it to heart and you become the honoriest bunch of people I've ever met in my life. You just won't talk about anything but truth. And if you start saying, well, I better go get my flu shot or my anti-inflation shot, whatever they're giving out today, you'll just say, I've already had mine. Don't be going with no single barrel.
Shingle.
Oh, yeah. Shingle shot. Y'all ever heard of a shingle shot?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was one. Some guys in the elevator one day said, have you had your shingle shot yet? What in the thunder is a shingle shot? Oh, man, if you ever get shingles. Well, see, there's your answer. I won't. And they were shot in. Anyway.
Our shingles are shot.
I have been immune. I have received immunization. I have. If I'm going to be smart enough yet next time to say, yes, I have. I'm still going, what in the world is that? Needless to say, I didn't run down and get one. I might get the shingles if I did. Because it's a shot of shingles so that you won't get shingles. Well, that's the world's intelligence. Expect the minute you begin to initiate truth, expect the challenge to that truth. Expect it. Just start looking. But you already know what to do now. Don't be surprised when it comes. But I quoted truth. God, it's your job now. When you've done all you can do to, then you, that's two times right there. I mean, when you're at your wit's end from standing, you have one more step.
Stand.
Just before you sink, stand. When you've just about worn out, stand. That just means if it takes 13,001 times shooting the word tomorrow to overcome, go ahead and shoot that 13,001. Do it again. Do it again. How many times? Until you don't have to do it again anymore. If somebody's calling you ugly, you say I'm pretty until you believe it. It is that simple. Somebody tells you that you're at the fault of their problems, you are my problem. Thanks, but no thanks.
Amen.
Don't think I'll take that position. Nice for you to offer that to me, but I don't want it. But I forgive you for the suggestion. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. This is a word that God gave me for you guys right here this morning. Do you understand what I mean by that? I think it's Matthew chapter 9, verse 7, I believe. Here's what it says. That's not it. Oh, here it is. 17, I'm sorry. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. That's a warning that if you try this, if what I'm telling you, you try, you're going to get ripped apart. You don't try anything. You do it.
Amen.
Here's the next part. Nor do they put new wine. And you're talking about new wine. You're talking about a new move of God. You're talking about a word of truth the Holy Spirit has delivered to you. You don't put new wine in old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. What am I telling you? What am I talking about this morning? I'm telling you that old things need to pass away and all things need to become new.
Yeah.
How often? Every day.
Yes.
Because His mercies are new every morning. So you need to be a new wineskin for new wine every day. Let me go a little further. Don't walk out of here the same. I pray that you wouldn't. You need to believe that you won't. Don't walk out here the same. Know that God has prepared you to be new so he can give you a new thing. And don't try to take the old way, the new way, and tie it to an old way. Whatever you've done, change. It's how you stay new. It's how you stay active and powerful and strong. Whoa, that's a new truth. It's mine. Be quick. You hang around Karen, you find out she doesn't like anything new. Hey, try this shrimp. That's seafood. Well, try this fish. Every time we've talked her into trying something new, she's liked it. Now, come on. She's not the only one in here.
That's right.
She's not the only one in here. What I'm telling you is that God is new every morning.
Yes.
His truths, his mercies, they are new every morning. So I have to be new every morning.
Amen.
My wife never knows what to expect. But every day she knows what to expect. Come on.
Amen.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's new every morning. What are we saying? Nothing is ever going to get boring. It can't. Your walk with God will never be boring. Your walk with you can get not only boring, but degrading. But your walk with God, that will never happen. So the minute you or anybody else in this room starts getting downtrodden, that's a religious term, downtrodden. You get down in the mouth, that's an ag term. You're not listening to God. It's that simple. You're listening to something else, but you're not listening to God. Because there's a fear in you, fear of lack of acceptance, fear of a lack of success. Fear of I might not make it in whatever endeavor I'm doing. God is not the spirit of
fear,
but of
power,
ooh,
love, sound,
and a sound mind. God gives me sound mind. The devil gives me fear. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. Are we through? No, I got to take you a little more time. One more thing. In every one of us, there's going to be a temptation to be afraid of something. And in Christian community, new wine and old wineskins, the biggest thing that Christians are fearful of is they're out of control. When in reality, it's the only way God will accept you is to be out of control. I'm going to read you something right quick. In Luke. I'm sorry, why did I do that? I read it from a different. All right. I'm trying to decide which one to use. That's a whole new message. I can't go there. Let's do this one. This is a short one. Luke chapter 8, verse 49 and 50. And I want to show you how Christians can be afraid of what God is doing. And if you don't listen to me the first time, I got a longer one. And if you don't listen to that one, I got a longer one. Okay? If y'all are hungry, you better listen. Luke chapter 8, verse 49. While Jesus, was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter's dead." You know why I picked this one? Because it is an extreme. Listen to me, parents. Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid." Did I pick an extreme? Your daughter's dead. And Jesus' answer is, don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. He didn't say, I'm saying it, so she's well. His command was, only believe, and she will be made well. You know what happened. You know what happened. Do you understand that God was doing this for a purpose? And the Christian, the believer, became afraid because my daughter's dead. Y'all want to be extreme Christians? Or you'll be lukewarm? That means you will not be out of control even if somebody comes and says your daughter's dead. You will still have a sound mind. There was an instance there when they got afraid. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Believe.
Amen.
So the next time you have a little fear, what you're going to... You can still hear Jesus say, don't be afraid. Believe. When I think I'm dying of a heart attack, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Believe. You think he's changed his story since then?
No.
When Peter stepped out on the water, he was all hunky-dory, looking Jesus in the face. And then he looked, the scripture says he looked at the water, and he began to sink. Don't be looking at things you're not supposed to look at. Don't be meditating on things, or you will sink. And he was smart enough to say, help, Lord. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? That was a lesson. You sinking was a lesson. Don't doubt. You becoming afraid about your daughter being dead, it was a lesson. When are we going to learn that this whole thing is a lesson? It's not a test. I don't even like the word test. It's a lesson. It's to teach us how to become stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, this morning, I'm looking at a church that should not be this empty. And it's created some fear at times. And Jesus says, because some of you have been hearing, this place is dead. And Jesus says, it's not what I told you to think on. That's not what I told you to say. I said, believe. Now, you guys need to begin to speak some things over this place and not be afraid. You need to be able to see chairs being full and speak them full. How many times? 13,000 a day, 13,001, I don't care. I'm telling you that this place will be as full as two things. One, as you expect, and two, as you're flexible. Because when God fills the place, he's going to fill it with newness. And if you're an old wineskin, you're just going to tear. This place will be what you say it will be. You know what you guys in charge of the music need to be saying? God, thank you for new music. New ways to deliver the music. The preachers up here, the people that are ministering, God, thank you for a new way. I'm tired of the old way. I want a new way. And see what he does. Let's get a little excited about what he's going to do. Not be afraid of it. If he says walk on water, don't be afraid of the water. Evidently, it's a sound place. Will y'all commit that? Will you commit to do that? You're not going to give up until you see every seat full and you're starting on the second second service. And then that happens so fast that you're looking at the Circuit City building to wonder if you shouldn't buy that. Just at the right time. You understand what I'm saying? It's too easy to get bogged down with where I am. Happy with an old wineskin. Fear helps you get there. Well, what if we step out there and the economy remains the same? It makes the buildings cheap. For every question that can be thrown up for you, to you, you have an answer. And there's never an answer to low humidity except water. Heart's clear. Have I just released you into doing that?
Yes.
Board members, I want to tell you, not only do I release you, but I anoint you to make this place grow.
Amen.
I don't come to you as a pastor here. I come to you as an apostle. I've never had that happen before, but I began to question, what in the world are you doing, Stan? See, you got pastors here. You don't need an extended one. That's no good. It's hard for a pastor to lead the green grass and still waters from 1,000 miles. It doesn't work well. But I can come with the word, and I can come in authority, and I can come to you in the name of Jesus, which says those that come in the name of the Lord are blessed. That means I'm blessed and you are too because you were here.
Yes.
And please, 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 expect miracles. You're going to get what you expect. And if you don't expect this place to be full, it can never be full. If you don't speak it so, it will never fill. If the piano player wants to be a better piano player, she says, I'm a better piano player. And I love your piano playing. But if you want to be better, you say, I want to be better. I am better by God's help. I don't care. That's everybody in here.
Yes. Yes.
You need to get better. Why? Because there's still one more mountain. There's still one more thing that I've got to do. This church, you have a sure foundation. I am going to tell you that I have laid a sure foundation in this place. You need to be proud of that. You need to cherish that, as I do. I'm not trying to tell you, there's no ego at all involved in this. I didn't. Just in case everybody hasn't heard this, I'm going to say it again. Bill, kind of cried on my shoulder a little bit and showed a little bit of a shaky leg syndrome when he said, I'm still not too sure why you're in South Texas. Well, join the club. No, I'm more sure today than ever before. But I meditated. By the way, everything that you share with somebody should be an opportunity for meditation.
Yes.
And I meditated on that. And the question came back. My wife and I, 15, 16 years ago, pulled up our roots out of South Texas, took our children. We took everything we literally owned and we came up here. And we started a new life. We didn't bring a job up here. We didn't bring an occupation up here. We started over. And no fear, right? No fear. We were just dumb. We should have been afraid. We didn't bring a church. A church was thrust upon us and we took it. No fear. We poured our hearts and soul into everything up here. And one day we wake up in South Texas and God says, you're moved. Who should be the most disappointed? Me or you? Neither. The answer is neither. But if I'm looking for a right, it should be me. I give up that right. I don't want it. I'm telling you I'm not disappointed, but I'm telling you this morning I release you into growth. I command you to grow. With your words, you grow. With your actions, you bring in new people with new interests. And please, I also command you in Jesus' name to don't judge somebody by what comes out of their mouth. Otherwise, you'll be judged by what comes out of yours. Don't judge them because they're a different color, they're a different style, they're a different thought process. Don't do that. If they're a dirty, rotten sinner, praise God, this place needs to be full of them.
Yes, amen.
It needs to be full of them. Get them in here. Don't let them stay that way. Use your words to change them.
Yes.
But they're not your words, they're God's words. Use them carefully.
Yes.
Amen? Deborah. Art came to see me.
Yeah,
no, he will not. God's working on him.
Yes, he is.
Those things that are hopeless, time wasters, you want to kill them? They're the ones God's working on.
Yes.
He said two things to me, and I'll remember the second in just a minute. The first one was, why do you love God so much? I wanted to cry. But it's no time to cry. It's time to minister. Why does anybody in this room love God? Well, he's done so much for me. Wrong reason. That's a selfish reason. I thought, the Holy Spirit showed me why. I didn't have a good answer because I knew the man didn't want to be preached at. The world's tired of being preached at, guys. They want some truth. And I said, because. He He's the most honest, truthful, sure, highest integrity of any entity I've ever met in my life. Never lied to me, never misrepresented, never wanted anything from me. Wasn't coming to me with a line. Wasn't trying to sell me anything. He wanted to give me truth. And I stand in awe of his presence. That means I respect him. That's why, Art. I know the second. I told you I'd remember it. I talked to him for quite some time, and he said, I've got to go. I'm getting hungry. I said, you were offered food right here. It's still over there. Let's get you some. He said, not for food.
Hallelujah.
Now, you're not going to find anybody any more weird than Art. I shouldn't say that. There's always new every morning, right?
I'm married.
He didn't, you did. No, I'm just... Jesus died for one man. Me. I don't really care about y'all. You understand? I do. But when it comes to that eternal point in my life, there's only one person that I have to make sure gets there properly, and that's me. Therefore, an absolute truth is he died for me. Now let's go one step higher. Keep this in mind always. Jesus didn't die for you or me. He died for the Father.
Yes, yes.
So, I have to turn around and do the same thing. Once I get an absolute truth, I die to the Father. That's right. A question that... A question that I asked the men of the board yesterday morning was, would you love God if there weren't any heaven? If there weren't healing, if there weren't abundance, come on, let's get in the dark room here and let's not let anything, let's get an answer. Because it's an answer that God asked me, he will ask you. Would you serve me just because you love me? Or you trust me? I'd rather you just trust me. Yeah, I would. I would. I know him. I know him. He said, now I want to step on your religious ease just for a second. Do you know what I'm talking about, religious ease? That's words you use that you shouldn't use. Religious words that the world does not understand. He said, Deborah tells me that all my problems will be over if I will accept Jesus. I said, great, your problems are over. What do you mean by that? I said, you accept Jesus. I do not. So you deny his birth? No. You deny his walk on that on this earth? No. I said, see, you've accepted it. God wants you to talk new. Think new. He will give you new words if you will just be open to them. Don't say, if you'll just fall on your face and pray to Jesus Christ. I said, you know what, Art, the Christian of this world need to understand? If Jesus were here right now, he would not preach himself to you. He would preach the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I said, Jesus never once taught Jesus. He taught the kingdom of God. Let's get rid of our religious ease and let's begin to understand that truth is what the world needs. They're full of fear and they need truth. Your husband is full of fear. He's scared to death. I said, Art, let me explain something to you. When I was 5 years old, there was a preacher in the front of the church, and he did an altar call. He was scaring the hell out of me. That's what his job was, and that's what he was doing. And I was ornery then. I didn't want to put those pants on then either. So I got out of the front seat, and I went to the back, and I went to the restroom because I said, God ain't going to follow me in no restroom. And I said, he saved me while I was peeing. If that don't cock your pistol, then you don't know God. I said he started off with me on a way that nobody's going to believe, and he just keeps doing it. I said, you believe that, Art? Before he could answer, I said, doesn't make any difference what you believe. It's the way it happened. And I said, one time again, I was hungry and thirsty and hungry and thirsty. And all of my religious world was turning upside down. And I was seeking God with all my heart. And in the middle of a praise and worship service, I was sitting right back over here. I think it was right here. And right over on that big old wall, the face of Jesus showed up. That's what I told Art. I said, Jesus got on that wall. And he didn't say nothing. I didn't have to bow and I didn't have to do nothing. My whole life changed instantly because I saw him. Do you believe that? Makes no difference what you believe. It happened. My whole life was changed by one vision. What are you talking about changed? I mean, all things passed away and all became new. Where's yours at? What testimony do you have? I didn't ask you to. I don't know what day that was, and I don't know what time it was. I remember where it was, but that's accidental. It's not important. I remember that it happened. And I don't know if I was 5 years old, five and a half. I don't know if it was November. I don't give a flip about that. I just want to know that it happened. I always wonder about people that said, on October the 12th, 1949, at 11:30 in the morning. Oh, please. Please. You made that up. Just tell me what happened. Do you remember what happened? If you can tell me what happened, I'll listen to you. That morning, that evening, I don't know if it's morning or night, but that face appeared and everything became new. Everything. But you were already saved. Not enough. I need to get saved every day. New every morning, right? So if I'm seeking him to be new every morning, he's seeking me to be new every morning. Every morning. Next Sunday, when you come to this church, is this place going to be new?
Yes.
What are you going to be looking for that's new? What are you expecting? With new problems. New people with new problems. With new chances of ministry. With new ways of testifying. With new ways of touching. And it may torque you. Some crazy lady may show up in here and just give you all kinds of fits. Praise God. Are you a loser or are you a winner?
Winner.
Is this a weapon against you or is it a weapon to change you? So I'm looking forward to the fight.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the stand and stand. And I'm looking forward to the 12,000 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
When my son comes back from those, he's black. He's got gunpowder all over him. He's just blacker than pitch. Because of the what's thrown off from the fight. Or the training even. Cordite. So what does he do? Never get in that fight again? Goes out the next day and does another 13,000 rounds. Why? Because that's how he gets good at what he does. Now, if the army is smart enough to train you that way, how much smarter is God? Please stop worrying about the problems and the situations and look for the next place to step up glory to glory. Give me another Art. You need to quit saying how in the world, but say, give me another Art. Don't mean it, but what that means is I'm ready for another battle. I remember in this city when I had been wounded and wounded and wounded and wounded. And just about to the end of my rope. You didn't know that because it's not your business, it's mine. Some of you were here. And I remember walking out in the middle of nowhere and saying, God, I'm ready to be wounded again. I'm ready to be slaughtered again. Let's go. Do you know that it took everything within me to say that? Because I didn't mean one word of it. But I said it. And God heard it. Let's go again. Bill, are you worth it? Is this lady back here worth it?
Absolutely.
This lady?
Yep.
Is this gentleman worth it? What will I pay? Jesus paid his life. What will I pay? How much will I give? How much will I pour into you? He poured his life blood. How much will I commit to you?
Everything I want to give or receive.
You see, that's what... See, God is not looking for any more Christians. He's looking for more Jesuses. He had an only begotten son. He wants to get past that. He wants some more begottens. He wants some more men and women that will go out here and say, I give my life to you. I've already given it to God. I can't do that again, but now I give it to you. What do you need from me? I'm going to draw a line. There's not, you can't just have anything you want, but right now I'm giving you everything. God will tell me what I can't give you. He'll instruct me. He's faithful. I'm not going to be afraid, Bill, that you're going to suck me dry. Please try. I told Art, you have helped me tremendously. What do you mean by that? Let me fin the rest of it. I didn't come here to help you. I came here to get help. He didn't say that, but that's the attitude. I mean that every time there's an opportunity of ministry, I get ministered to more than I give. Every time, I've never had it fail. So what, you think an Art's a threat to me? That's exciting to me. It's exciting. Come on. Make my day. Make my day. I got a backbone. It's called truth. Come and I'll set you free with it. Amen? I appreciate the opportunity to minister to you because I've been ministered to. I wish there were more because that means more blessings. That's all it means. More get blessed and I get blessed more. I'm a selfish man. Be selfish for God. Be selfish for you. Thank you for the time. I pray that you would not leave here the same, and I fully believe that you will not leave here the same. Don't pray amiss. We will leave in the morning, about 8 o'clock, a few minutes before. We're going to go back. Where we're going back to the... Can I tell you something? You remember me saying that God, and you still don't understand this, you don't have to, it's the truth. We found ourselves moved. We're not too sure yet how that happened, but we were moved to South Texas. We were commanded to go to a church. We were told to sit in that church and do nothing, not be quiet, but do nothing. These are the chairs we sat in that church, right here. Right? Well, since it's a three-tier, it's more like those. But we did what we were told to do. We sat quiet one day. The man walks up. The pastor of the church walks up and says, would you take Wednesday night? He said, what's the matter? You don't want to? No, you surprised me. Yes, I will. Then he said, would you like to take another Wednesday night? Sure. A little later, would you like to take every Wednesday night? Sure. I told you that before we came here, and this is all happening fast. You need to understand this is happening fast. We're only talking about less than 2 years. That's fast. Before I came up the last time, he said, I forget how he said it, but he called me a pastor in the church. Okay. I don't remember volunteering, but call me what you will. Went home. He said, here's this cross I want to give you. Cross is that big. Must weigh a pound. It's stainless steel, gold, and a diamond. He said, here, it's like mine. I'm going, what are you up to, God? What are you up to? I don't even like that thing. It's way too much bling for this boy. But I wear it because he gave it to me. I wear it until we get out of the church. Because I get tired of doing like this. Anyway. I think it was a week ago or 10 days or whatever. I'm coming into church and he said, would you be the associate pastor? Yeah. Okay. Big ceremony. So they've been acting as pastors in this church. Now we're going to call them associate pastors. What was the command God gave me? No. Do nothing. See, that wasn't even revelation to me until this week. He didn't tell me to be quiet, because that would have negated the fact that I could have preached there. He said, do nothing. In short period of time, he stands up and he says, I've never met a man that's more that I can relate to as close as this man. Do you understand? I've never visited his office once. I don't even know what the inside looks like. We haven't had intimate, private conversations. We haven't made a deal. I did nothing. Scary as all get out. Why do you think God comes to me and says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear? Because this is getting scary. The last time I did this, you know what I ended up with? You. Right, Harry? Last time you walked into church, you got trapped by us. But anyway, it's not really scary. I'm not trying to tell you I became afraid, but it makes you think. And when those thought processes come in, you have to say, God comes in like a flood and says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear.
Yes.
I know what I'm doing. Okay, God. When a new art comes in, he doesn't say, I'm afraid. No, no, no. I didn't give you that spirit. This is an opportunity. I told Art, I said, you know, you listen to what I'm telling you. I may never end this message. It doesn't make any difference. I said, Art, you know why people don't like you? No. I said, because when you look in the mirror, you don't like you. I said, you know why I put time in you? Because God sees something that you don't see. You are created in His likeness and image. You are created in His likeness and image. So when he sees him. He doesn't see what you see. Because you want to see past. He doesn't look backwards. He doesn't listen to the garbage mouth. What about that time when I remember that I did this and that and the other? He doesn't do that. I know. You thank him. I'm thanking him for me. But what he sees and what he expects me to see is what he sees. He sees himself. His likeness and image. That's why, for God so loved the world. Because he's looking at himself. Why do you think the devil hates you so much? Because you look like God. And he don't like God. So when I look at Art, I have to yield to the side of God, not to the side of Stan. Because Stan don't like Art. Art is rebellious and don't even know why. So I just want to go, whoom! Come on, just like you do half the time. If you'll admit it, why don't you yield to God's vision, which has not yet been manifested, same as healing. I am healed, but just because all the manifestations out there does not mean I'm not.
Right.
I'm going to see in you what I decide to see in you. Please get that down in your craw. Do like an old cow. Swallow it and regurgitate it and eat for a while and keep going until it's fully digested. You are going to see in others what you have decided to see. When you decide to see yourself in the mirror as God sees you, it will free you up to see what God sees in others. Do I need to say that again? Gene? Do I need to say that again? Let me say it again anyway. I'm asking somebody to give me permission to say it again. When you look in the mirror and you accept what God sees in you, which is Him, He'll open up your eyes to see in others what He sees. It's that easy. And you won't be so contrary. You won't have bad attitudes about people. For those of you that know us, we went to dinner with my brother last night, and guess whose was on his arm? Was on his arm. Yes. Now, what was your reaction? Okay, you see?
But then I thought, but I am doctor related.
You have two reactions. You can have one of two. Oh, my God. Or, my God. Do I like it? No. Did God ask me? No. Why don't I just leave it at that? I don't know what my brother sees. Maybe one day I can, but I'm not going to get involved in what the enemy sees until that time. Okay? Bill, when I was talking to you directly yesterday morning, I was telling you what God was seeing, not what I saw. Because this boy is getting better, but he's been known to be impatient and wants to jump on you with great vigor, lay hands on you suddenly, so that you'll finally get an understanding. That's me. That's me. I didn't speak to you as me yesterday. Can we have a goal in our lives that we just quit talking me and we start talking what God says, what He sees? Great deliverance will come through that. Many chairs will be filled and many people will be touched. Because you'll probably be the only church in town that's doing that. I hope not. But there's many, few, wide, narrow. You know the scripture. Why don't you become one of the few? God needs a few good men and women that listen to Him, obey Him, do what He says. By the way, Patrick has the address, the new website of the church where I go. My messages will stream from there the minute you click it on. Okay? Patrick has been putting them on the website here. Is that right? You can hear them? If you wonder what I'm up to, if you wonder what I say this coming Wednesday night, go Thursday morning and click it on. I don't know if they're that quick, but anyway, they're pretty quick. I may have lied to them. That's why they're there. I thank you. You want another message? No. Listen, that's what you and I are, pressure on this world. You understand that? When you come to this church, Bill, when you come to this church, you stand in this podium. Whoever's standing here, your job is to be pressure. It's not to be pretty. The sound system's changing. Everything's changing in that church. There's been more change in that church since you and I showed up than probably been there in months and months and months. By what? Because God says, go there and do nothing. Let God do it. All right. Thank you for coming. See you later. I'm through now. I'm through now. Y'all stand with me. Always remember when you hear us coming, we're going to spend a lot of hours coming and we intend to be long when we're here. Thank you, Lord. Once again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I anoint you board members to run this thing properly. I call it out in the Spirit and it will be done. I anoint the two that I know of are called ministers in this house, and I say minister properly and minister fully in Jesus' name and freely, freely, but most of all, truth that will set people free. I anoint you and I speak that to you as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and say to you, and please don't stumble on that thing that I just said. Just walk in freedom. Walk in the anointing. Bill, in Jesus' name, you will never be drugged down again. Ever. Amen. Not by loved ones or enemies. Not by friend or foe. Not by circumstances or situations. You are more than a conqueror, and you will never forget that in Jesus' name. Bill, amen. You are anointed to do what God has called you to do before the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah. And I hear you study. And I hear you to show yourself approved. And I hear you are a good man. Now be a good man in God's eyes.
Amen.
Be a bold man in God's eyes and deliver that word that He gives you in Jesus' name. Be free and walk with this anointing and this empowerment in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Amen.
Bring peace to this end of this earth through truth.
Yes.
not signs, but truth. And let signs and wonders follow in this place. Cause them. Call them out. Signs and wonders will follow in Jesus' name. Never forget this moment. And never forget that you're called to initiate this moment at a later date through somebody else. You're not for yourself. You're for the kingdom of God. The furtherment of the kingdom in Jesus' name. For those that have put time and effort into music, God will reward you. Never wait for the payment. You're already being paid. There are people that want to hear your sour notes. I don't understand that. Don't care. Just play them. Sing them. If you've got something to offer, offer it. Anybody that's got something to offer, offer it up as a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice unto God. Let Him take care of the rest. If He don't want you to sing anymore, He can just give you laryngitis. That's His business. He can make a squawk come out just to teach you that I'm in control. But He also can make you better and better and better.
Amen.
Don't be defeated. There are people lined up out here. Can you see them? There are people lined up here. They're waiting for you to get your stuff in order. Why? Because they're hungry. They've been lied to. They've been cheated on by ministries.
Yes.
Don't be that ministry. Be the one that's willing to die for them. Lay your life down for them. Pour into them stuff that they didn't even want. They just showed up not knowing what they wanted. Y'all remember Paul Lavoie?
Oh, yeah.
Came up here one time and ministered a couple of times, I think. If you were to ask him about his testimony, not his whole testimony, but the one where he got saved, the day that he got saved, he showed up so his wife would shut up. He didn't want to hear her bugging him anymore. So he just came. And he said, "Stan, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I ended up in the front giving my heart to God, and I didn't even know who God was." He said the message was on tithe because I went back and checked. So it had nothing to do with the message, which should give great encouragement. There's never a failure in the message. If you'll share the truth, there's never a failure. He got saved on a tithe message, hating his wife and not wanting anything to do with the church. Now, how much work was the church involved? There's people out there lined up waiting for that same opportunity. It won't be you, and it won't be your tremendous praise and worship or your tremendous message. It'll just be that they were seeking God, and you were the jackass that God used that morning.
Yes.
Amen? Boy, don't that set you free? It ain't about us.
That's right.
It's about God's work, and He's wanting to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That makes me so excited when I say that. That's why I say it often. He can use any old jackass, because it sets me free. It takes all the burden off of my presentation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your time. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for your ministry through these people. I thank you for this church. It's your church. I thank you for those people that are lined up waiting to come. I thank you for the growth that we can already see and feel, and it'll come through their words and their faith. I thank you that they're a whole lot bigger than they think they are, because it's you and not them. I thank you for their honesty. I thank you for the faithfulness. And I thank you that you're going to reward them greatly through souls and through people's changed, lives changed. And those people that are weak right now and falling to one side, let them understand, God. Put a conviction in their heart that there's nothing more important than the house of God. There's nothing more important than the people of God. A little sleep, a little slumber, and it'll kill you. So we sacrifice the rest, the peace, the comfort for the kingdom of God, and therefore we're rewarded and so are others. In Jesus' name. That money's not more important, that work is not more important, and time is not more important. The only thing that's important is what you deem important, and that says remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Anybody need any special prayer? You know what the outstanding fact of fibromyalgia is? Whatever that, I don't either, but I nearly said it. It's because it's a name. You give it a name, then there's a scripture that applies to that. That is what? There is a name that's given above all names. Is that an absolute? So we don't have to guess that this is going to be. Now, she can live with it if she wants to, but we are getting rid of it. Then she'll only have the name. She won't have the disease. All right. In Jesus' name, we take that position. Father, you've given us a command, not a suggestion, to come against those names such as fibromyalgia, such as every other name that can be brought up. We curse those now in Jesus' name, not because we're mad, because we're mad for the Word. That comes directly in an affront, an insult to the Word, the living God. And so we take your side, God. We command that body and that mind and that situation to come in agreement with God's Word, the Word that we just spoke in Jesus' name, that takes dominion over all names. We cast that out. In Jesus' name, there is no other name. No other name. No other name. We speak that about every household, every person in this place, including myself. I walk under that umbrella. There is no name. There is no situation that's above the name of Jesus. And I accept him as the verb Savior, the verb Healer, an action figure, not a statue.
Amen.
He accomplished it, and it is finished in my life. It is a truth, and it's absolute truth, and cannot be denied or thrown away. I speak that over these people. Richard, what can we do for you?
My blood pressure is really, really high. I don't think there's a lot of stock.
I just thought I must have stunk with that thing on your nose. Come on, that's a laughing thing. Laugh up. You're healed.
Yeah.
You're healed. Yeah. Now, come on, this man needs some agreement. Why don't y'all just, there's a fear involved here, Richard.
Yeah,
you just explained it to us. You know what? They're all lies.
Yes.
Who made blood pressure?
God.
Who regulates blood pressure?
God.
And in your case, your faith in God will regulate the blood pressure.
Amen.
I have the same thing announced over me, and I no more receive that than you should receive
it. That's right.
This blood pressure stuff is judged by men, high or low. Yes. We reject their opinions of it, and we speak in Jesus' name that this man's blood pressure is according to the will and the Word of God.
Amen.
That is the truth. Nosebleed, nosebleed. By the way, blood flood is an absolutely great thing to get saved under, so just use it. Just take it as a salvation process and the evidence that thereof. You are healed. Don't tell me it's not stopped. It is stopped in Jesus' name. Say, I do not have a nosebleed.
I do not have a nosebleed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
All right. That's the absolute truth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
All right. And you're going to keep saying that until the manifestation is there, right?
Amen.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Richard?
Jesus' name.
Walk like a well man. Act like a well man because that's the truth.
That's right.
By the way, that blood bubble is ugly.
Yeah, I
know. Go wash. Be baptized. Hallelujah. There will be a season in this church where people will come for this.
Amen.
Now listen, don't get the fat head. Amen. Salvation is the thing, not healing. Even though you can't divide them. But when people come up here to see the signs and wonders, Jesus was plagued with that, right? He was plagued with people that just came to see signs and wonders. They weren't serious about giving their heart to God. Keep that in mind. Perform, in Jesus' name, the signs and wonders. But don't let them get by with just that. Because Jesus said, rise, be healed. Go, sin no more.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that last part.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We're free. We're healed. Father, we receive the fact that we leave here totally changed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We move forward to the next endeavor that you have for us. With great expectation of success, we do it in Jesus' name, and we give it praise and honor and glory. And everybody that agrees says,
Amen.
Be blessed. Thank you for your time.